The Generic Live Show is up next. Welcome to your Generic Live Show. This is the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell. Thanks for joining us here on a Sunday. That's right, we are back. Sundays, we're enjoying our Sunday time slot here on the Generic Live Show. I nearly almost slipped up and said something else entirely. That would have been embarrassing for everyone involved. Thanks so much for joining us here on a Sunday. Whether we are putting you to sleep, whether you're in Australia, 9 to 11 Eastern time here in Australia, or we're waking you up from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on the east coast of the USA. It's a pleasure to be here. As per always, I am Dale Campbell, and let's get started with the show with an update on a story. You've probably heard all of the updates as it's been uncovering all week. There's probably no need to update you, but I thought for people that only listen to this show, and you'd be surprised on how many people just listen to the show alone. We better update you on a developing story, a story that we brought to you live as it was happening to you last week. This terrorist shooting that happened in Orlando, the gay nightclub in Orlando at Pulse Nightclub. A bit of a matter of information to bring you up to date as we kick off the broadcast here on a Sunday. For the final death toll, as it hasn't moved for about 3 to 4 days now, it hasn't moved off this much. 43 killed, 53 injured. The 50th that the media has been reported, including the gunman. So 49 victims with 53 injured. They were taken to hospital early Sunday morning, Mayor Buddy Dreyer said. The gunman, who also died, that makes him number 50. Omar Mateen, 29, of St. Louis County in Florida. According to the American Broadcasting Corporation Company News, Mateen was on the radar, in quotation marks I'm reading, of terrorist officials, but was not the target of any specific investigation. According to various reports, Mateen, who is Muslim, had pledged allegiance to ISIS in a 911 call prior to the shooting. We mentioned the police officer, the official that was involved with the shooting. He has made a full recovery. I'd like to report this evening as well. He has made a full recovery, so he is all back to normal life as a cop. He has all of the full emotional and physical support that he needs to carry on his life, I would assume, because that's what a statement from the county police office said, the Orange County in Florida officials said, because, you know, he'd been shot at by a terrorist, then that would go on and commit this mass murder. But good Samaritan in the official there is alive, thank the Lord. President Obama dubbed the shooting the worst mass shooting in the U.S. and referring it to an act of terror and hate. This is an attack on all of us, Obama made a statement at a trip to Orlando. Police Chief John Minna and his statements to the press. I believe this is last week.
Number right now, but multiple people are dead inside Pulse Nightclub, and people have been transported to various hospitals around. So do not have an exact count. Obviously, our condolences go out to the friends and family. We're going to continue to work with the FBI and the Florida Department of Law Enforcement and the Orange County Sheriff's Office on this joint investigation. And at this time, I'll turn it over to the sheriff.
That is Chief John Minna, right as the event was happening. And that is, that was his update. Here we've got Orlando Mayor, Buddy Mayer, I think his name was, yeah. He made an address to the people on Sunday morning. We brought it to you live, but just to recap this story, here
strong,
is the mayor of Orlando.
Resilient community. Tonight, we had a crime that will have a lasting effect on our community. We need to stand strong. We need to be supportive of the victims and their families. I would ask Chief Mina to explain what happened.
That was the mayor of Orlando. I'm seeing a picture of the helmet. It's shocking. Shocking. The helmet saved this police officer's life. I know we shouldn't be focusing on the police officer. He's not the main story here. But you know, it's God bless it. He is alive. That officer and Martin engaged in a gunfight that lasted over 3 hours before he himself died. Just trying to bring up updates for you on this. We've got a heap of stuff to sift through. Mateen's father, Sir Sadiq, told NBC News that, quote, this has nothing to do with his religion, unquote. And the father suggested that the shooting could be related to seeing two men kissing in Miami. Now, here's the thing, though, and I know I'm going to get my... I'm going to be putting my foot in my mouth shortly after saying this, but I made the point on the show a while ago, particularly when the San Bernardino shootings happened. I mean, the person was driven... he was a former disgruntled employee. That was the motivation of the San Bernardino attacks. Now, you can say it's not, or it's, you know, it can, you know, feel like he has other motivations there. And people around him knew, the former and, well, both former wives now, but the former wife, the wife prior to the wife that Martin had before the shooting, she said that, you know, he had homosexual tendencies and such, and he had visited Pulse nightclub before. I'd hate to be Captain Obvious here, and I know this is a grim situation, and I know I shouldn't be making light of it, but Captain Obvious would tell me, of course, he had visited or had people in his camp who had visited at the nightclub before he shot it up. I mean, that would be just common sense, because he'd want to know his surroundings before shooting up the place. That's just common sense to me. So common sense would prevail that one on me. But the homosexual tendencies things, well, that cannot be scientifically proven. Sorry. It can't. Trust me. If anyone knows, it would be me. But, you know, if it can be scientifically proven, I am more than happy to, you know, be more than happy to have someone come on the show and tell me how it's scientifically proven. And I made this point on Facebook, and we'll move on. Well, we got to move on to another terrible story that unfortunately got overshadowed by this terrible shooting. But I made this point on Facebook this last week. It's becoming less an argument about guns and more about the the point of legislation at this point. It's becoming an argument of what's more important, a constitution that, yes, your country is founded on, and yes, you should be kind of as strict as you can towards it, but legislative law keeps that country in motion. And you've got to think, if your country stuck to your legislation, hello, Queensland would not be a state. So I'm just saying there's pros and cons to a constitution. But where do you start? Do you start by changing the mindset of people of what's more important, the legislation or the constitution? You have to kind of change the attitude of people there. But wanted to give a quick update, an overall update on the Orlando nightclub scene. Of course, we'll bring updates to you if they further develop. Quick little update before we move on to another tragic event that occurred at the Orlando, in Orlando, the night before this terrorist attack occurred. Sydney Siege, going all the way back there, we're having another hearing by they're investigating the current, from what I hear, they're going there and scouring more employees into that situation. That has not been confirmed. That's just a whisper that I have heard. So we'll bring you up to date on that one as it continues. And we want to spend more time. We're staying in Orlando for this segment, terribly. But want to, of course, talk about the Christina Grimmie. I believe it's said, or is it said in the video? She is a former contestant of The Voice and a YouTuber. She does acoustic / piano covers of popular and famous songs. She was on The Voice. She was on Team Adam. Not that that's any point of information, but just want to get that her bio correct. She's a 22-year-old. She was at a fan event. She was signing autographs. It was a meet and greet kind of concert thing. It was very, very casual in lapse. She was shot on last Saturday. That would have been the 11th on the 11th of June. Tragically shot the day before this other event, and the other horrible event took precedence. Here is the chief of police in Florida again addressing us in this shooting of Christina Grimmie.
Based on our investigation thus far, it appears that a white male, 21 years of age, approached Christina Grimmie. This was after the show. There were about 120 people inside the plaza, and she was doing like a meet and greet, you know, signing autographs and selling merchandise. So this white male approached her and opened fire, striking her. Almost immediately, her brother Marcus Grimmie tackled the suspect to the ground. Shortly after that, the suspect killed himself. The suspect in this case is not from Orlando. The suspect traveled to Orlando, apparently to commit this crime, and then had plans to travel back to where he came from. What our detectives are doing right now is they're going through the suspect's cell phone and computer to see if they could find a motive for this crime. The suspect had two handguns on his person. He had two additional loaded magazines for those handguns and a large hunting knife. So there's no indication that he knew her. We're looking into that and trying to find a motive for the crime. There are no metal detectors. As far as I'm aware, people are not patted down. I'm told that the security measures in place are that the people open their bags and the security people look inside those bags for weapons. We are taking a look at the guns right now to see where they came from. I will say that he traveled here from Florida, from another city in Florida to here, and had plans to travel back to that city. That's all I'm going to say about exactly where he's from right now.
That was Chief of Orlando Police Chief John Minna, who has had a tough couple of weeks on his hand. Later identified as 27-year-old Kevin James Lobby killed himself after 22-year-old the singer's brother Marcus tackled him, and then that caused the death of the shooter. Terrible stuff. And people took to Twitter in dismay. Now, the backlash from this shooting, of course, has turned to, whereas the one in Orlando has turned to gun control. And by the way, we don't have time to open up that can of worms. Oh, and we have to stop hate crimes, which is always a good cause. By the way, we always should stop hate when it comes to LGBT people. You know, we are the most hated people in the world. On top of other categories as well, you've got to consider that as well. This shooting, the Christine Grimmie shooting, has turned to YouTube and how we need to buff up security at YouTube meet and greets. Tyler Oakley, particularly a famous YouTuber, also took to YouTube to have a massive, massive rant. And he said, well, the main message of his video was, you know, we've got to celebrate life and feel safe at the same time. Those two things need to happen at the same time. And it's pretty good. It's a pretty good event. You've got to think VidCon, which is an online video industry gathering, starts on June 23rd. 23,000 fans are expected at the sold-out event. And, you know, we have to... I don't know where it's taking place, though. In Anaheim, California. There you go. Changes to the event, though. Late changes. There is going to be more police officers, nearly double the security guards, metal detectors, and random bag checks at the event. Moreover, the event is best known for getting hordes of screaming fans closer than ever to their favorite stars. That will be limited, authorities say, in air quotes. Quote, previously, after panels, many fans came to give creators gifts or letters or just to ask questions and talk, organizers wrote in a Tumblr post outlining new security measures. This will be no longer a thing. Creators will not be able to linger after panels, and the audience will not be allowed to approach their famous panelists. This sucks, obviously, but we don't want to build a wall between creators and their communities, but unfortunately it is necessary. Here's the thing. Now, and other famous YouTubers like Joey Graceffa and everyone under the umbrella of Pata Mendish, he's a talent manager, all of his people are getting full-time security officers. Here's the thing. Now, I get that this is a highly secure event. If you put the measures in place of extra security guards and medical detectors and random bag checks, that will prevent anything. Why do you have to... Why do you have to cancel, essentially, meet and greets with fans? I don't understand. And isn't the whole point of YouTube so you're not that highfalutin? Yeah, you still get recognized in the streets, but you're not that highfalutin kind of celebrity type, so to speak. My words are escaping me today, but you're approachable, and you're not that secure. You're not that high profile person that you're so unapproachable. These security measures are making people less approachable, and I think that I think the online community is going to be worse for it. I mean, I enjoy where my celebrity status is. I'm not a professional YouTuber, nor am I a professional radio host by any stretch of anyone's imagination ever in the history of ever. Children have better imagination than what I feel like I have a better imagination of being a professional radio host. But the point is, I feel like that's going to create a divide in the community. I mean, these changes are new. They're relatively new. That happened. These changes were going to be implemented on June 22nd. So we'll see how that works for everyone. I think, July 27th. When's VidCon start? It's as here. 23rd. Starts 23rd. It's a multi-day conference. So I feel like that's going to have an effect on the community. And I really want to see people's response to that. But tragic stuff. And of course, we're going to continue to follow these two terrible events. And it's just awful. Awful. Awful stuff. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show, we're going to move on to something a little bit more fun, you know? We're going to move on to something more fun. And over the next 2 weeks, we're going to be covering the election in a lot more detail. So we're going to present to you some more stranger candidates and more stranger campaigns. It's 9:21.
Finally found the most generic live show. This is the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell.
Thanks for joining us here on a Sunday. Glad you could be with us. So good to be here as per always. Now, I know our show may be wall-to-wall election coverage, but, you know, it's for good reason. It's for very good reason. Now, I really want to share this with you because it's caught Australians off guard. Now, election campaigns, they political ads. This is universal across all political spectrums, and the US and Australia is no exception to political attack ads. Now, this political attack ad is a little bit different in nature. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a new prime ministerial candidate for you. He is delicious. He has a couple of meat patties with lettuce, tomato, some beef, pickles, some lettuce and tomato. I'm pretty sure you'll go through that. He's making a mince meat of his opposition. People are saying that he has nice buns, and TV Journo hands out a grilling that only the Whopper can take. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to present Hungry Jack's / Burger King, their candidate for Prime Minister, the Whopper. Take a listen.
Australia, it's time to choose a leader who is honest, one with integrity, one who's not swayed by hype and trends. A true blue Australian who is loved by millions. And with no added hormones. It's time to choose Whopper for Prime Minister. It's time for better. Authorised by millions of people who love Whopper. Spoken by a man with a very deep voice.
That there is the Whopper for PM, and yeah, here's the Whopper. He's out there on the campaign trail. He's a burger, but he's out there on the campaign trail. Here is the Whopper on a very, very special edition of some generic live show. Hey, what's this? What are other people doing a live generic another show? The Whopper on an election special. His answers are going to surprise you. Here he is.
Welcome to Election Special. Today, my guest is the leader of one of the most popular parties. As well as his impeccable taste, he's known for being able to take the heat. So please welcome Mr. Whopper. Now, it's been said that you have more integrity and are more honest than anyone who's ever run for Prime Minister. What do you have to say about that? It was said that your mum told you that if you had nothing nice to say, you shouldn't say anything at all. So what do you think of your opposition in this election? Wow. Well, on that bombshell, Whopper, thank you for your time and good luck in the election. I've just interviewed a burger.
What am I doing with my life? You know, we're going to try and work on getting the Whopper on the show next week. It's going to be fun. I want to do that. I want to interview the Whopper. You know what we should do next week? We should do burger debates next week on the show. Oh, that'd be awesome. So there you go. Is he leading in the polls though? Let me see. The options: vote now and collect your Whopper reward. You've got Whopper, Turnbull, Shorten, Denali, or Joyce. Of course, I'm going to vote Whopper. Let's have a see. Smart vote indeed. No, I'm not doing that. Let's see if I vote. You clearly can't. If you pick the Whopper, of course you get your free upgrade to your Whopper meal. But if you didn't read your how to vote card, if you voted for someone else, that is really cool. Of course, the Whopper for Prime Minister. And we're going to have, my people and the Whoppers people are going to try and get on the show next week. This is really just an excuse for me to eat burgers live on the show. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday, glad you can be with us. The real leaders had a debate, and we're going to bring you the highlights and the lowlights depending on your perspective. It's 9:29. Find us on Twitter. Just use the hashtag GLSShow. This is the Generic Live Show with @TheDaleKim. Thanks for joining us here on a Sunday on the Generic Live Show. Glad you could be with us here on the show. And we are here hot on the heels. Of course, it's a Sunday. We're starting off your week right over there. Or we're finishing it off. It's an all matter of perspective. Glad to be with you, though. We are hot on the heels, like I said, of the week, and what a week it's been. We've got 2 weeks left of the show, and I've actually noted down I will be doing, I don't care what lengths I have to go to, I will be doing a live, I'll be attempting, I don't want to say I'll be doing, I'll be attempting a burger debate live on the show, which means I have to eat a whole heap of burgers live on the show next week. But that's okay. I'll do it. The sacrifice I make for people of this program, I swear to God. But I don't know how logistically that's going to work, but I will make it. We'll make it work. Somehow, some way, I'll make it work. Thanks so much for joining us on the GLS Generic Live Show, the GLS show, the Generic Live Show show. Anyway, moving on, we have had another debate, another leaders' debate, moving politically speaking, back on track here. 34 minutes into the broadcast, we're just moving back on track. They had a third and final leaders debate. Three debates, which is the... Well, it's pretty much the... The only other debates that we had more of was when Kevin Rudd and John Howard debated. That was... They had an intense debate season when they were going head-to-head. But this time, news.com.au streamed the event live on Facebook. While many people that were passionate tuned in to hear it, that wasn't too many people. The show rated poorly. I was about to say something different then, and sorry, I don't have my pop filter on, but that the show rated poorly. It was 12,500 people watched it live across the nation and around the world, quite frankly, and that doesn't ring true to me. The first online debate, though, I will say, ranked 12,500 people. So there is that to take into consideration. We have a few fiery exchanges between Malcolm Turnbull and Bill Shorten to play. Want to get out that Bill Shorten launched, was the Labour launch, and it was pretty much a victory lap, by the way. After polls come out and said, opinion polls come out and said that Bill Shorten won the debate on Friday, which was held, yeah, on a Friday on the back of a moving train in the middle of the night. It was ridiculous. I'm not kidding. It started at 6 o'clock on a Friday night. Who? This obviously that time slot. I've never had to write or I've never had to produce a show in that time slot. I mean, we've. Generic Live Show has been stuffed around with time slots before, but never have we had to daunt the Friday night time, that time slot, the graveyard time slot, so to speak. I mean, we've been on 10:30 on a Wednesday night, for crying out loud. Yeah, we've been on 10 till midnight on a Wednesday night. We've had Tuesday night shows, but never... If you know this show ever goes to a Friday night schedule, you'll know the show has gone to, pardon the phrase, hell in a handbasket. So apart from that, apart from the show being held on the back of a moving train on a weekend night, on a bank holiday when no one was watching and there was another major sporting event. It may as well have been all these things, by the way, with only 12,000 people tuning into the debate. So, that is what it is. There's more chances that the debate would get more exposure on this show than what it was, than the actual debate itself did when it was launching. But want to play three key moments in the debate where you know, the fiery exchanges happened. And I think there was two phases to the debate where you know, the leaders get 60 seconds to answer questions. They, in the first phase, the longer form phase, as they called it, it was 90 seconds. But I think this next clip that I'm going to play, this next exchange I'm going to play, was a 60-second question. The topic is marriage equality. And have a listen between the exchange between Malcolm Turnbull and Bill Shorten. Here is that debate. What I like to call the train carriages of these debates. Have a listen.
Prime Minister, what the hell are we waiting for?
I'm in favour of it. I support same-sex marriage. If we are returned to government, there will be a plebiscite and all Australians will get a say on the issue. I'll be voting yes. Lucy will be voting yes. We'll be urging people to vote yes. I'm confident, very confident, it will be carried. And every Australian will have a say, and it will be done.
Why not just have an active parliament? It can be done quicker, it can be done cheaper, and everyone's going to be happy. Save $160 million. You're worried about the budget?
That's a very fair point to make, but my party decided, prior to my becoming Prime Minister, to have a plebiscite. It was a decision of the government. I have to say that, not that we politicians ever look at opinion polls, but every poll I've seen shows very strong support for the proposition that Australians should have a say. So it has been offered to them and promised to them, and we will deliver a plebiscite, and I can assure you that I will support it. I'll be voting yes, and I'm confident it will be carried.
Thank you, Prime Minister. Mr. Shorten.
If you vote Labor and we get elected on July the 2nd, I will put a bill into Parliament to vote upon within the first 100 days after the election to make marriage equality legal in this country. I totally accept that Malcolm supports marriage equality. The problem is, it's just how we get there. Now, the argument says, oh, plebiscite's very democratic. But the truth of the matter is that this is a debate where I don't believe that people's relationships and love for each other need to be submitted to a public opinion poll. And I think we've seen two terrible events in the last week which show that hate and extremism does exist in modern societies. And I don't want to give the haters a chance to come out from underneath the rock and make life harder for LGBTI people or their families to have to somehow question the legitimacy of their relationship. This is an opportunity for him and I to lead. Tonight I ask Malcolm Turnbull, regardless of who's elected on July the 2nd, please, let's just vote for marriage equality in the Parliament. We'll have the numbers, the conscience people in your party and my party. We can change this and do it without the hate and the homophobia.
Well, thank we you, stick Mr. to our promises, Bill, yeah, and just... we've made a promise to have a plebiscite. Can I just say, with great respect to you, I believe Australians are better than that. I believe we can have a discussion about marriage equality. It can be civil, it can be respectful, and we will make a decision as a nation, and then as a nation we will respect okay. the outcome.
Well, thank with you, great respect, Malcolm, I believe that the Irish are good people. I believe the Americans are good people, but I saw the hate campaigns that come out and the homophobia. Let's just lead. Let's not just wait till you can appease the right wing of your party. Let's just be done with
it. Can I just clarify, Mr. Shorten, I think perhaps you're referring to the terrible events in Orlando in Florida. Do you really think that that level of hatred would emerge in Australia in a plebiscite? Do you really think the No campaign would be talking about massacring gay people?
I don't understand homophobia. So I also don't understand why kids whose parents are LGBTI should have to go to school and see stupid posters on the walls or be subjected to taxpayer-funded advertising campaigns. You know, like, life is hard enough. We've got enough going in our lives without taxpayer-funded campaigns challenging the authenticity of one person's love for another. We've got a lot else to do in this country. Let's just move on. And I know that if Malcolm Turnbull actually ran his party, we wouldn't be having this argument.
Okay. Well, you had me at let's just move on.
I have more confidence in the decency and the responsibility of Australia.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We've established that. We're repeating ourselves now.
Sorry, we have an audience member. I'll be very quick. It's not that I don't have confidence in Australians. We're asking them to vote at this election. I just believe that leadership sometimes means leading.
Okay, great. Thank you.
A very fiery exchange between Mr. Shorten and Mr. Turnbull there about marriage equality. Now, we'll move on. that is my response. Now, I'm thinking of that burger debate and how logistics are going to work on that. Me and the associate producer here in the office today, we're sorting out logistics on that one. But how... Again, yeah, I agree. What are we waiting for? This should have happened ages ago, and I don't understand why it hasn't happened ages ago. I mean, realistically, why has this not happened ages ago? We keep running around in circles. One government wants to do one thing, the other government wants to do another thing. Again, we are not voting for a prime minister. We are voting for a leader of a party. You have to remember that foreigners who are listening to the show, Americans mainly, but because the British follow our system, we are not following. You know, we're not following a system where we're voting for a president. We're voting for a leader of a party. We may have to consider that. Next fire exchange before we have to take our break. Well, probably before we have to take our break. The trust question comes up again as I knock over my microphone there. Would you look at that? Just like a bought one. The question of trust comes up. And I'm skipping through the video here because there are no clips. So I have to try and...
As prime,
have to try and skim through as much as possible. We'll set this up, but the question essentially was, how can we trust you when we are a laughingstock on the international stage when it comes to electing? We've had five prime ministers in 5 years. How can we trust these people? And here is that exchange.
Minister, we've got an opportunity to make a very clear decision between now and July the 2nd. And what I'm offering as Prime Minister and leader of the coalition is a very clear economic plan that will deliver stronger economic growth and more jobs. It will, because it's designed to do so. And it's affordable. We're living within our means. We've set it all out in the budget. It's all very clear. It's not a glossy brochure or anything like that. It's a very clear plan, and it's based upon the values that will enable us to succeed in these, the most exciting times in human history, where the opportunities have never been greater, but the challenges and headwinds are very real too. And so it's based on innovation, it's based on advanced manufacturing, it's based on backing business and particularly getting behind small and medium business. It's based on opening up those huge markets in Asia, those big export trade deals that we've entered into. You know, Japan, Korea, China, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, a new deal with Singapore. We've done all of that in the last few years. With respect to the Labor Party, in 6 years, they didn't do any of them. So we've opened up those opportunities, and I saw some of that at work today, up in Alphaville, up near Lismore, where a macadamia nut processing business. Regional Australia has done it tough in many ways. They have expanded their exports massively because of those opportunities. So that's the key, a clear plan, stable leadership, a strong coalition government.
Thank you, Prime Minister. That is time. Just to follow up, though, the question was about trust, and she was talking about the churn of prime ministers recently. That all sounds fine.
Well,
how can they believe it will actually happen?
I am opposed to churning prime ministers. I'm very committed to the prime minister being the same after the election as he is now. So I can assure you, we're on the same page, Joe.
That's right.
We need
everyone's opposed
stability.
To churning through prime minister once they've become prime minister.
That's true. That's exactly right. No, you need stability,
sure,
continuity, and
thank
a clear
you,
plan.
Thank you. You've answered that, Mr. Shorten. Why should politicians trust you? We know the Labor Party's had a bit of churn itself.
Well, going to the heart of the question, the Labor Party has learnt its lesson. The truth of the matter is that Australians want to choose their prime ministers and they don't want political parties to overturn the midterm. So I've been very lucky. My party's learnt that lesson. We've been very united in my time as leader of the opposition. But this issue of trust goes beyond just parties. It goes to which political party trusts the Australian people to put their policies out there. I've chosen to not lead a small target opposition. The conceived wisdom is you wait for an incompetent government to fall over and a small target opposition just walks into power. Well, that's not what I think it is involved in trusting the Australian people. We trust the Australian people to put forward our ideas and for them to make a choice. And so I say back to the Australian people, who do you trust to save Medicare? Who do you trust to fund our schools properly? Who do you trust to make multinationals pay their fair share? Who do you trust to tackle the problems of negative gearing and make sure that first home buyers compete on a level playing field? Who do you trust to stand up for the Australian steel industry and make sure that we keep manufacturing jobs in Australia? Who do you trust to make sure that we stop sacking CSIRO scientists? Who do you trust to keep the banks to account and have a royal commission? For us, it is all about trust this election, trust and the choices that people get to make between the two political parties.
Thank you very much, Bill. And I think a bonus point for coming in under time. That is just fantastic. Now, as you know, we've got 30 people here who have been selected very carefully by...
Okay. Stop. Yeah, like I said, there's no headlines from this debate. So we are bringing you the key moments. We've got another one to get through that we just simply ran out of time. We've got lots to do, lots to see, lots to cover in this this segment. Will say this, I don't know how I feel about the setting out of this debate. And we'll end on this note here. I mean, we here locally had our debate as well with all 9 leaders had a debate here locally as well. I mean, you think as well, 9 people on a stage gets a little uncomfortable. Just ask the Republicans in the US. So they'll tell you how uncomfortable that can get after a while. But you got to think as well, like, the setting of this just looks uncomfortable. I mean, they're sitting on bar stools with a backdrop on a clickety stage. I mean, it's not the most comfortable setting, but it is the most casual. So I will give some credit there where it is due. You're going to make the leaders feel comfortable, and I believe they did so. Just comfortable in the wrong sense of the word, excuse me. I think it, you know, comfortable in terms of feeling like you can relax and actually being comfort for the sake of comfort. So another story. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. Coming up next hour, we will we'll bring you some big stories that has happened internationally as well. Everyone's gone into frenzy here, frantic rush here about how we can sort out details for this burger debate that's going to be happening here. Everyone's just calm down. It's okay. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show, next hour, the top of the next hour, we'll bring you some big, big news that is happening around at the world in terms of politics. But right after the break, we'll bring you E3 happened, the Electronic Entertainment Expo happened. One of the most searched things when it comes to E3. As we continue, it's 9:51.
Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell.
Thanks for joining us. Oh, that's too soft. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show here on a Sunday. Glad you could be with us. It's been a very, very fun first hour, but we're going to tone it down a little bit for the second hour because we have some big stories around the world that are going to affect you politically. So that's coming up a little after 4 minutes past 10 after our second ad break here at the top of the hour ad break. But before we get there, we got a lot to get through. Two bills that have passed in Canada and in Kenya that will be effective, that will affect you, I'm pretty sure. It may affect your local government, wherever you may be, whether you're in the US, whether we're waking you up on this Sunday, good morning, or whether we're putting you to sleep, good evening, here in Australia. But before we get all heavy, E3 rounded up for 2016 this year. We don't normally cover E3 on the show, but I thought, you know what, why not? Here are, drumroll please, the most popular games of E3. This is according to organic searches surrounding announced game at press events. That's a weird title, based on total of organic searches. Coming in at number 10, Days Gone for the PlayStation. Number 9, Mass Effect. The new Mass Effect sequel from EA. Number 8, Resident Evil 7 from Sony. Number 7, Last Guardian from Sony. Number 6, Horizon Zero Dawn from Sony. Xbox making its only debut on this list at We Happy Few at number 5. Number 4 is Detroit Rescue Human. Why? For Sony. Battlefield 1 for EA comes in at number 1. The new God of War game for Sony comes in at number 2. And all the way up at number 1 from Nintendo is The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. There you go. There's some proper fanfare. The most popular studios of E3, Nintendo, pulled in a number 5. Fortunately, they just can't head off that bottom spot, unfortunately. Bethesda comes in at number 4. PlayStation comes in at number 3. Ubisoft comes in at number 2. And Xbox comes in at number 1. Despite their lack of games, and Ubisoft didn't have anything on that top 10 list. So, interestingly enough, the most popular posts of E3, which is surprising, the video introducing the new Xbox One S on YouTube. On Instagram, it's the photo of Crash Bandicoot with the caption, "Look who decided to drop by our E3 booth." On Twitter, it was a photo of personalized your very own Xbox wireless controller with Xbox Design Lab. And on Facebook, it was the E3 live stream from Xbox. Wow. Xbox, really, really popular there. Now, interesting though, because interesting because Xbox only had one game in the top 10 at number 5. Nintendo came in at 5th most popular gaming studio. Nintendo not even in the popular post at E3. I mean, Nintendo did have a weird year this year with their more sit-down treehouse event at E3, where they didn't blast a whole heap of stuff in your face, but you kind of just had a sit-down event. They just sat down and made it personable, and that's kind of enjoyable. You can kind of take some solace in that, I guess. One way or the other, you can take solace in the sit-down style of Nintendo's event. Of course, all the other ones were boom, 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 boom in your face kind of thing. And Sony pissed me right off because, all right, so here's my, in the 30 seconds we have, unfortunately, I ran out of time again. Yay, to express my opinion about Sony. But here's the thing about the Sony conference. Everything was in your face. It just felt like it had no substance. At least the Xbox and everyone else has had substance. But this one didn't have any substance whatsoever. That's my problem with it. That's all. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show, thanks for joining us here on a Sunday. What's coming up? We have some laws that are passed, some bills that are passed around the world that could affect you, even where you live. Tune in. This next segment, you might not want to miss it because it's going to be, the gloves are coming off. I may say that. It's 10 o'clock.